When I was a little boy, I had a nightmare that would recur fairly frequently, where I was being chased by some kind of monster. I never really saw it. I was being chased by the monster, and it chased me into the house, and then I was, you know, going to go back to my bedroom where I would be safe, but there was a huge gorilla blocking the hallway the course to my bedroom. So there I was, stuck between the gorilla and the monster with no way to escape. And that was usually where the dream ended, thankfully. And as I reflect on that now, I think I must have really had a fear of getting into some situation of danger without having any way of escaping. But I've come to also understand that this isn't the way that God works with us. We may get into situations of danger. We may find ourselves in places where we're threatened by different kinds of things, whatever it might be, and we might feel like there's no way of escape. We might really be afraid. And yet we know that the Lord always offers a way out. He offers a path to safety and to contentment, satisfaction, and goodness, and respite. In today's readings, the first reading and the gospel present to us parables that are somewhat serious in nature. The first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah has the Lord speaking to us about the vineyard that he planted. He's referring to his people, his chosen people. He says, my friend had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He spaded it, cleared it of stones, and planted the choicest vines. So this is an allegory here, speaking of how the Lord God chose his people and he gave them everything. He prepared them to be a people uniquely his own, and he blessed them with all kinds of different graces. And yet, when he looked for the crop of grapes, he found that it yielded wild grapes. It didn't yield the fruit that he intended for the field or for the vineyard to yield. And so it is with his people Israel. After all of these blessings he had poured out upon them, he had hoped that they would bear the fruits of good works, righteousness, holiness, fidelity. But what history shows us is that his people turned away from him. They chose to follow other gods. They chose the path of unholiness, unrighteousness, and disobedience. And so there is certainly a message of judgment here. There's a call to a greater authenticity in faith and a greater response to the gifts that God has given us, the gifts that God continues to give us. The first reading doesn't say God gives up and says, well, forget them. You know, I'll find someone else who will be faithful. But there is certainly a serious message here that we are called to be good stewards of the graces with which we have been entrusted. Then we go forward to the gospel where Jesus tells the parable about the landowner who plants his vineyard and entrusts it to tenants. Again, the expectation is that those tenants will bring the good fruits of the vineyard and make a return to the landowner. But in fact, when the landowner sends his servants to go and obtain that produce, what do the tenants do? They kill and they stone and they beat the servants whom the landowner sends. So finally the landowner says, surely I'll break through to them by sending my son. And it's quite the opposite. They see the son and they say, aha, if we get rid of him, then we can step in and inherit everything that belongs to the landowner. And so again, here's a very serious message. Perhaps this message is directed to those who are in positions of leadership, especially, that they are entrusted with a great responsibility to tend the vineyard and to produce the fruits at the proper time. So we have two situations here, two readings that are kind of sobering. They make us realize, wow, God really has given a lot to us, and he has expectations of us, that we don't just sort of wander through life aimlessly, squandering the good gifts he's given, but that we work hard and that we make a good return to the Lord for all he has given to us. As I said, the Lord doesn't just give us the bad news and leave us without any kind of good news or good hope to count on. He doesn't leave us in a bad situation without any escape. Perhaps we could say that the good news, the escape for us, is given in the second reading today. This little clip from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he teaches them how to get out of a situation where everything is so dark and heavy and ominous, and to enter into a situation of great joy and experience the peace which surpasses all understanding. And what is St. Paul's advice here? He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. In other words, meditate on the things of God. Meditate upon who God is and what God has promised to us who believe in him and are faithful to our call. Meditate upon these things. And people say, well, I don't know how to meditate. I open up the scriptures and I read it, but I don't really know how to meditate. My response would be, if you've ever worried about anything, then you know how to meditate. Because we keep turning the thing over and over and over in our mind. We look at it from different angles. We meditate on the problem. That's a kind of meditation, like it or not. But the kind of meditation that St. Paul encourages, the kind of meditation to which God calls us, is that we focus on the good things of God. We don't just forget our problems or ignore our problems or the issues at hand as if they aren't there. But in the midst of those problems and those challenges and trials, God calls us to focus on what we know to be true. Focus on God, who he is, his goodness, his truth, whatever is honorable, just, pure, lovely, gracious, excellent, and worthy of praise. See, when we fill our minds with those kinds of things, then we find peace. But when we fill our minds with all that is wrong, you know, when we meditate on all of the problems in life, ours or other people's, then we're robbed of that peace. We don't have a sense of joy when all we can think about is what's wrong. One of one of the priests in the seminary was a psychologist, and he was always telling us, the way you think about things affects the way you feel, and the way you feel then affects the way that you act. So if you want to change the way things are going in life, if you want to change any behaviors, change first the way that you think about them. Fill your mind with all that is good. Focus, meditate, clear out the distractions, which is hard work, by the way, as you know. But we keep trying. We trust in the grace of God to help us focus on all that is good. St. Paul says, keep on doing what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Then the God of peace will be with you. This is the solution that the liturgy of today offers to so many difficulties that we find in life. We don't have to work out all of the details on our own. We've got to set our sight squarely, firmly on God and who God is and what God says in His Word, and then He will allow peace to fill not only our minds, but our whole life.